Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 39. At that time, Marduk Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard of his illness and recovery. Hezekiah received the envoys gladly and showed them what was in his storehouses: the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine olive oil, his entire armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, "What did those men say, and where did they come from?" "From a distant land," Hezekiah replied. "They came to me from Babylon." The prophet asked, "What did they see in your palace?" "They saw everything in my palace," Hezekiah said. "There is nothing among my treasures that I did not show them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." "The word of the Lord you have spoken is good," Hezekiah replied, for he thought, "There will be peace and security in my lifetime." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to heed your warning, and just to humble ourselves, God, this morning as we read the story of Hezekiah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a very simple devotional this morning as I was reading through the story of Hezekiah, and I wish I could remember the stat, but Kenny and I, when we were young, about 10 years ago, even more than that, we were in part of an accountability group together, and we read this book together called Finishing Strong. 1 out of 10. That's crazy. It says, so the book basically, the premise of the book is that out of all, is it biblical figures or just leaders in general throughout history? Okay, so I mean, I don't know how he got the stat, the author, but he said, out of all the people that sincerely begin their faith and begin to follow God, only 1 out of 10 people, men, oh, just, okay, specifically for men, 1 out of 10 men will finish that race strong, right? That by the end of their lifetime, they will continue to serve God and follow God and faithfully, just faithfully follow him. And how many men are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 8 men. Let's say if P. Ricky, he's running a little late because Lauren was up late. And then let's say if Pat Salama, who's usually here, he's traveling. If we had those 10 men here, you got to look around and say, who's the one that's going to finish strong from our church, right? And that's a really scary thought. We should research it more to find out how he got that stat. But here we see a man, Hezekiah, who he started off so strong. His father was an evil king, King Ahaz, and he was completely given into idolatry and bringing in wicked practices to the land of Judah. And Hezekiah, by God's grace, when he becomes king, he He just loves God, and he has this desire to cleanse the temple of all its idolatry and to cut down the places of worship outside of the temple that where people were worshiping idols. And I think Hezekiah is the one that also brought down, if you're familiar with the story, there was a time when the people of Israel, as they are moving from Egypt to the promised land and wandering in the wilderness, and they complain and complain and complain, and God brings a plague, and then God commands Moses to make a bronze snake, and anybody that looked upon it were saved. And apparently that snake, eventually, because the hearts of the people of Israel were so given over to idolatry, was being used as one of the idols that they were bowing down to. So Hezekiah has the guts to tear that down, right? Which is probably something very sacred, you know, in their history, knowing the story of, you know, where they have come from. So Hezekiah has this passion, has this zeal to follow God and to worship God and to lead his nation to worship God only. And Hezekiah is famous for his prayers to the Lord when there is a great threat from the nation of Assyria, and Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, will bring his messenger down to the southern kingdom to threaten them, to say, "Who do you think you are? You know, the gods of Egypt and all these other nations were not able to stand against me. They were not able to protect their land against, you know, my great powers, the powers of Assyria. And so, who do you think you are? Who do you think your God is that you can stand against, you know, my attack and my invasion?" And Hezekiah is the one that turns to the Lord in prayer, and he says, "God, you've heard the words of this king, and I pray that you would come and do something so that the kingdoms will know." What does he say? "So that the kingdoms will know, the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God." Right? He prays this awesome prayer, and Isaiah gets a word from the Lord to come to Hezekiah to say, "Because you prayed, you know, because you sought my face, I heard your prayers, and I'm going to deliver your land." And Assyria gets routed, and Hezekiah experienced this great victory. And then in the next chapter in Isaiah 38, we read about Hezekiah's illness. He falls ill for whatever reason. It doesn't really tell us why, but he turns to the Lord in prayer. And actually, Isaiah is sent once again to Hezekiah, basically to tell Hezekiah, "Hey, your illness is going to end in death, so you need to prepare your house, you know, right, to just get ready for the end." And Hezekiah turns to the Lord in prayer and says, "God, please have mercy on me." Basically saying, "I don't want to die. I'm not ready to go yet." And in an amazing, in this amazing account, as Isaiah gives the word and leaves, and he's still like in the palace, leaving the courtyard, and Hezekiah turns to God in prayer, and then God stops Isaiah in mid-track and says, "Hey, actually, I'm listening to the prayers of Hezekiah right now, and he's really humble, and he's really praying. So go back to him and tell him that he's actually going to live another 15 years. Can you imagine what it would be like to have God tell you from now that you will have 15 years more of living? I mean, it would be incredible for me to know, like for you to know, "Oh, I have 15 years and then I'm going to die." How would you live those 15 years? I was so disappointed to read after that story, chapter 39, right? Because I would think, man, if you knew you had 15 years to live, wouldn't you want to like sow into your, your next generation and make sure that the kingdom of Judah is going to be secure and prosperous and following the Lord? But instead, Hezekiah just thinks of himself. It's so sad. Right after Hezekiah comes King Manasseh, who was one of the most evil kings of the southern kingdom. And so even though he knew he only had 15 years to live, he didn't do anything to pass down his devotion to Yahweh. And maybe because he didn't have anything to pass down, maybe somehow along the way, something happened in his heart, and he just became very prideful. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 32. Second Chronicles 32, we'll go from verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. He prayed to the Lord, who answered him and gave him a miraculous sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem. Therefore, the Lord's wrath did not come on them during the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had very great wealth and honor, and he made treasuries for his silver and gold, and for his precious stones, spices, shields, and all kinds of valuables. He also made buildings to store the harvest of grain, new wine, and olive oil, and he made stalls for various kinds of cattle and pens for the flocks. He built villages and acquired great numbers of flocks and herds, for God had given him very great riches. So God had given him very great riches. You can read about all the different kinds of successes that Hezekiah had. And it says in verse 25 that Hezekiah's heart was proud. In verse 26, it says he repented of the pride of his heart so that the wrath of God didn't come in the days of Hezekiah. But I don't know if his repentance was full. Maybe he repented of his pride at the moment so that the wrath of God wouldn't come right now. But it still didn't really have a change of heart, because then you read in Isaiah 39, Hezekiah, when the word of God comes and says this destruction is going to come to the southern kingdom, he says, okay, that's good, because at least it's not going to happen in my time. How selfish is that? I don't know, he had just lost it, you know? And he was this great leader. And so just this morning, as I was reading this morning, as I was kind of preparing for EMP, and I was just thinking, man, like, we have to be so careful. We have to be so, just like humble, right? Dependent on the Lord and asking God, please help me to finish strong. You know, some of you are still in youth group. Samantha up here, she's in youth group. And you're starting out your faith, your journey with God, and we have to stay humble. You know, Pastor Sam says sometimes when people really, really pray desperately to God to bring about breakthrough, you know, the prayers could be about a job, right? And someone's unemployed for a long time, and they pray and pray, and in their desperation, they seek God, and because of that situation, they're actually drawn closer to God because they're so desperate and they pray. And then God eventually answers him with the job. But then the job becomes an idol. You know, once you get the job, then you're just so focused on the job that you actually forget about the God who gave you the job, the God who brought you closer to him through this situation, and you just kind of get lost in it. You know, people are desperate for relationships, and they cry out to God, and actually the lack of relationship is what draws you closer to him. But once you get that thing, you forget about God because you're so focused on the thing that God has given to you. That happens to the people of Israel, right? Once they enter the promised land and they begin to experience the blessings of God, God is so adamant, right? In Deuteronomy, he says, remember where you've come from, remember how I have provided for you. But they forget who God is, and they just get focused on the blessings that have come. And maybe that's the same thing with Hezekiah, right? He was so desperate when he didn't have when he was ill, and he cries out to God, but when God answers him and gives him the thing that he wanted, he just becomes prideful, right? And he forgets that it was God's mercies that led him thus far. So let's go before God. Pastor Andrew is going to lead us in a song, and let's just, number one, let's humble ourselves and ask God to help us to finish strong, to stay humble. And then I just want to ask you to pray for Today's Tuesday, so we'll be praying for the staff anyway, but I want to ask you to pray for the leaders of this church. Pray for Pastor Sam and pray for the other pastors and the staff members, and that we as a staff would stay humble, right? The leaders of this church would stay humble, that we would be a church where we break that statistic that 10 out of 10 men in this church would finish strong and stay humble before God. So let's just turn to the Lord. Let's just humble ourselves. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, that's not going to be me, you know, I'm not going to, that seems crazy, you know, I'm not going to be like that person, I'm not going to be like that, that's, you're probably more in danger, right? Have to be careful if you think you can stand, you know, lest you fall, right? So we need to humble ourselves and recognize, if it wasn't for God's grace in our lives, we would be just like Hezekiah and all these other leaders that we hear about that fall from their ministry, that fall from their intimacy, that fall from their integrity.
if it wasn't for the grace of God in our lives. And it's only by His grace, by His presence, that we can stay pure, we can stay devoted to Him. So let's humble ourselves. Go to our community prayer. Let's pray for those that are battling cancer, going through chemo or radiotherapy. Let's pray for God's power to be released. Let's pray for healing for our brothers and sisters. Let's go to the second one. Let's pray for those that are sick and need of physical healing, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's mercy. Let's pray that they will be able to turn and give their hearts to the Lord. And let's pray. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's pray for God's power and God's healing upon our brothers and sisters. Let's pray for those of us that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's favor and guidance and direction, and pray that that they won't be discouraged, that they will seek the Lord in this time. Let's pray for our friends. Let's pray for our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just bless this city. Pray for the government. Pray for the churches here. Pray for the Spirit of God to move, that there will be revival in this land. Let's pray for all these different ministries that's listed. Pray for God's guidance, provision, and anointing. And let's pray for the young people of Hong Kong, that they will not succumb to all the pressure of grades and academic success, but that that there will be peace in their hearts, that they will be able to turn to Jesus Christ for eternal hope. So let's pray for Hong Kong, our city. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for the staff to stay humble, to remain humble, to remain accountable, and to that we would, you know, the leaders, the pastors and the ministry leaders here, that we would be ones that finish strong, you know, that we will continue in this attitude of humility and just desperation for God, that we would stay in community, you know, that they're just pray for protection against the attacks of the enemy, and the isolation that the enemy wants to bring to the leaders. Let's pray for and cover the staff. Let's pray to you. Oh, please pray for Pastor Sam. He also, just physically, pray for his left shoulder. He had surgery yesterday, and the surgery went well, and he just needs to recover. So pray for recovery as well. Let's pray for the worship team and the sound and AV team. Pray for a real heart of worship and a pursuit of excellence before God. And let's pray for anointing, that the worship times will be very powerful and very life-giving to those that are here, and that it will be pleasing to God. So let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry. Pray for the welcoming team and the barista team. Pray for more servants. Pray for a real heart of love, and you know that God will share with these ministers His heart of love and acceptance, so that the people that come into our church, that are greeted by the welcoming team and greeted by the baristas, will feel so loved, supernaturally loved and accepted, a sense of belonging here. So let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for the house churches meeting today. Pray that they will have an amazing time. great time of discussion, and that the Spirit of God will be really evident in each of these meetings. So let's pray together. Thank you, God. We just come before you. We thank you for the word. Thank you for the examples and the warnings, God, that we see in Scripture of these leaders that started out so strong but ended poorly because of most of them, because of their pride, God. So I pray that you would keep a check in our hearts, especially against the subtle, subtle sins of pride, the attitude, the arrogant heart that can come into our hearts. Pray for your protection, and we thank you for your grace in our lives, God, and we recognize that if it isn't for your grace, we would be just like these other leaders that fall. And just as we sang today, God, help us to have this pure and holy passion for you, that we would continue to have this zeal to follow you and to know you better and to make your name known and to worship you and to draw closer to you. So thank you, God, for giving us this time. We love you. I just pray your blessing and covering over each person, that they would have a great day today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow.